providing healthy, high-quality food and products as locally and sustainably produced as possible is the number one goal for the Food Conspiracy Co-op. They are a thriving, ethical, environmentally conscious, and cooperatively owned business that educates citizens about health, food, the environment, and how to become involved in cooperatives. Hello, I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and this is Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. Do you co-op? That's what we're going to be talking about today, and if not, why not? With me in studio is John Glennon, General Manager of the Food Conspiracy Co-op here in Tucson, Arizona. And hopefully, John will be sharing with us just what being a member of the co-op is all about, the important accomplishments of the Food Conspiracy Co-op, and why investment in cooperatives, and I say this with such passion, is essential to our future, perhaps maybe now more than ever, and hopefully he'll tell us how we become engaged. So, John, it's great to finally have you sitting down with me. I was very excited that we're going to meet. I'm in and about downtown quite a bit and on 4th Avenue, but we haven't met.
Yeah, I'm really happy to be here. Thanks for the opportunity.
It's going to be fun. And I think we were members like 35 years ago.
Awesome.
I whisper that, okay? But there's something about which we can talk about. We live so far that it's sometimes not feeling very green. So I love starting the shows this way now because I think what gets people interested and excited, when you share your story, so you're sitting here in the chair in Mrs. Green's World National Headquarters and you have a job that's really all the things I said. It's a lot of responsibility. It's thriving. It's growing. You have dreams. Why are you sitting in this chair? How'd you get here?
I definitely like to reflect on this quite a bit. I actually, my background is in cultural anthropology. I got my undergrad degree from the U of A in cultural anthropology, and then I studied in a master's program in applied anthropology at Northern Arizona University. And I think just the discipline of anthropology, for me, how I kind of engaged with it was really sort of learning ways to think differently, ways to engage certain issues in a way that's just has always been really interesting to me. And I'd say, you know, through studying theory in anthropology, particularly cultural anthropology, one sort of, you know, really deep theme in anthropology, which is, you know, basically the study of humans in its most basic form. But in terms of cultural anthropology, you know, we're looking, you know, there's kind of a traditional idea of anthropologists as, you know, going off into some far land and studying people, which is very problematic in a lot of ways as the discipline has, you know, grown into the 21st century. But a lot of times cultural anthropologists are looking at, you know, localities that are in the United States, for example, looking at community-based sort of, you know, contexts,
right,
if you will.
Right, right, right.
But all that's to say that food is definitely a central theme in anthropology. Food has always been interesting to me because, you know, as you look at it through the lens of anthropology, you know, a lot of different ways of being in the world branch off from food. You know, food's not just simply nourishment for our bodies. It's not just simply caloric intake. Food is, you know, food is social, political, economic.
Traditions. I mean, it goes with everything.
Absolutely. And also power, for sure. Power is inextricably connected to food. So I just have always been interested in that. And working in applied anthropology is really we're asking ourselves how to basically turn theory into practice. And through that exercise, you know, I knew that I wanted to get involved in community work. But, you know, food co-ops in and of themselves are really interesting places for food, food studies in particular, because there's just a myriad of different things going on in a food co-op. So basically, I did my master's research at the Sierra Vista Food Co-op in Sierra Vista, Arizona, which is a somewhat new co-op that started in 2011. And Sierra Vista, Arizona is my hometown. So I thought it was interesting, you know, place to you know, I worked there and then an interesting place to explore some more, you know, my studies and things like that. So through that project, I got close with the general manager there at the time. And, you know, I think as I came out of my program, I was just really trying to reconcile for myself, like, what's meaningful work? And I really, you know, got an opportunity at that co-op. And from there, just basically learned how to run a grocery store in a lot of ways, but also explore really interesting sort of broader implications of, you know, my studies. And it's been great.
And it's so much more, like you said, the complexities of running a food co-op. It's not like running a grocery store. It is and it isn't. You keep groceries in, you have supplies in, but you have, it's member driven. There are so many other layers of that. It's not like your head office sends you a bunch of stuff and you get to put it on the shelves and they tell you where.
Absolutely.
A lot more moving parts. Just thinking about that is mind boggling.
Yeah.
So tell us the model as simply as you can. It's owner owned.
Yeah. So food co-ops are community owned, which is just a really interesting sort of framework where, you know, anyone in the, we could take Tucson, for example, anyone in the Tucson community could come shop at the Food Conspiracy Co-op and elect to be an owner. And as owner, you sort of gain access to our democratic process. So, you know, through ownership, you get to vote for our board of directors, and we could maybe get into that structure a little bit later. And then, you know, through that as well, you really have a deeper connection to the organization and can sort of have a say in how the organization, the cooperative, moves into the future. And obviously, food co-ops are just one sort of iteration of cooperative economics in general. You know, there's housing co-ops, there's farm co-ops, there's all different types of co-ops throughout the world. And it's just a great sort of decentralized structure of, you know, doing business or whatever you're sort of trying to do in the economy. So, yeah, very, very interesting structure.
And it's interesting. I'm finding your answers fascinating. You're the only person that has ever sat in that chair that has a background in cultural anthropology. And I'm not kidding. And that is what I wanted to study when I was at Pima.
Nice.
And it is a fascinating world. It is not, people have a thought about anthropology, but cultural anthropology is the word there. And also I want to reflect on your comment about community. The reason I very carefully word stored my introduction, mm-hmm. and when I say something like perhaps more important than ever before, the thought leaders and people that are really seeing where our planet is headed, one of the antidotes to that or ways that we can do climate mitigation is through community. Strong communities are going to survive and thrive. And so the food co-op is just what you said. It's a community. And that's why I said more than ever before, maybe you didn't have to think about it 15 years ago, but now any kind of connections to communities that you can make locally, I think it's going to stay, you know, that will hold us in better stead.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I would love to, but we probably don't have time to get into like theoretical sort of frameworks in anthropology, but I think one that really stuck with me and just a basic concept is just the idea of a locality, and really, you know, like it's localities and people that we live with in a close proximity or in a town or a city or whatever it might be. Really there's like a more direct connection there. And I think, you know, aside from sort of, you know, imagining larger structures in the United States that absolutely exist, You know, there's an immediacy to the people that you're around in a locality. And I think a food co-op is a great sort of, it's a space where people sort of start getting a more tangible idea of what their localities are. And I think that model in and of itself is a very powerful model in the broader sort of, structures of the United States or, you know, different things like that. Because, you know, we're in the co-op being community owned, like you alluded to before, like we don't have corporate suits telling us what to do. We don't have a lot of structures that you would have in a more sort of, you know, larger scale corporate setup. We're an independent cooperative grocer. And when you walk into our store, when you see our merchandising or when you see our the pictures that we choose to reflect sort of what we're trying to create vibe-wise in the store, like that's us, you know? I always really like to sort of illustrate that idea to my staff in sort of a, you know, one of our local grocery stores, Kroger or Fry's. You know, I walked into one somewhat recently and you see a picture of one of the staff and you're like, oh, that's nice. You know, it's basically said something like, oh, Mario's stocking your produce today. And you see that picture and it's like, okay, so that's the staff of Fry's. But then you go into another Fry's down the street and there's Mario again. You know,
ouch.
You go to Fry's down in Tucson. It's like, oh, now I've been to four or five Fry's stores there's that same sort of marketing ploy.
He's quadruplets.
Right. You know what I mean? And that's just really sort of like, in a nutshell, reflects the differentiation. You know, when you see people at the co-op, those are the people that you interact with and that are generating, you know, our presence every day.
And it's so funny that you said vibe, because my next question was going to be, I don't care who you are, there is a vibe on Fourth Avenue and I can't put my finger on it. A vibe you cannot absolutely articulate and describe. But to me, it's a very good vibe. It's vibrant. There's lots going on. There's every age group. There's diversity. There's tourists. I mean, there's a mix. And there is a good vibe there to me going down. Well, when you go in the co-op, if you're, you know, looking around, which that's why you would be in there, you can tell their differences. And there's signs that say this vegetable sourced from whatever, or we got these flowers from so-and-so. So even that ability to go in there and not see things all just standardized and on, you can go in there and actually have a shopping experience, mm-hmm. not just pick up some things. That's how I describe it. There's a vibe in the co-op.
Yeah.
There just is. And people hang out and you can go and get a lunch or you can go in and do your grocery shopping or buy your things in bulk. So it's a very different, and I don't know if there's an answer to this. You know, when I was actually asked to be on the board a while ago and I was so flattered and I said no because I don't have time yet. Yeah. But I hope I am someday. And what I wonder about is, my excuse is that we live so far away. It takes me 25 minutes to get down there, or 20 minutes, depending upon traffic. And what would it be like? Because people say, why don't you open one on the east side? Why don't you open one on the east side? To me, part of the pleasure and joy and excitement of the co-op is that it's on Fourth Avenue. Wouldn't it have to create a whole different persona if it wasn't in the hub of someplace that's blossoming?
Absolutely. And I think just sort of kind of going back to something that you were saying about the vibe of Fourth Avenue, and as well as Food Conspiracy Co-op, I think, you know, there's a difference between sort of feeling or understanding that there's a special vibe. And really, like, that sort of feeling or that, basically what our space sort of reflects in a lot of ways, or when you're interacting in our space, that's like, has taken a lot of time and sort of
evolution
and hard work to kind of get to that point. But I think overall, like, one big challenge for co-ops right now is like we have this great unique store in this space, but we're really trying to identify, like, why, you know, like, and and sort of perpetuate that in a meaningful, intentional way. And I think that's one of our big challenges right now is really identifying what it is we do well in our space as a differentiator to other grocery stores you might go into, like Whole Foods or Natural Grocers, whatever it might be. Identifying what the differentiator is or what the vibe is in a lot of ways and sort of perpetuating it and evolving it and, you know, reproducing it in meaningful ways. So, you know, that sort of undertaking is pretty abstract. But then, you know, to think of a different location in Tucson, I mean, it would have to be a reflection of
like
where
foreign.
That is.
It's just like, where would it be? It has to be in a neighborhood.
So Food Conspiracy has been around since 1971. We started as a buying club where basically local folks got together and identified that they didn't have anywhere to buy organic or, you know, more naturally produced food.
Right.
It was really a monopoly of the large big box stores in Tucson at that time. So Food Conspiracy truly started as a conspiracy to against sort of the big box conventional ag scene of the late 60s, early 70s. And basically we started by, you know, one person would, you know, in a van, go get food from the local area, bring it back to our same storefront that we've been at since 71, and really just, you know, the owners would buy the food. So that's a lot of co-ops start as buying clubs. But that's another really unique thing about Food Conspiracies. We've been in the same location in different iterations throughout time since 1971.
We moved here in 75 and it was a baby.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just starting out and we were young and we lived a lot closer and it was great. Let's go with the, you know, when you talk about the utilization of space and what creates the vibe and all of those things. One of the things that matters to me more and more and more, I just interviewed a woman yesterday for a podcast that's going to come out in a couple of weeks, and she told a story that like stopped me in my tracks. And there's not a lot of that for me anymore because I've been doing it so long. Mm-hmm. I get new information and maybe it delivered in a certain way, but I knew this. She has 3 kids and they all had severe allergies, like severe. One child was measuring 4 different aspects of autism. He had 4 symptoms of autism. And she went on a mission to find out. Her son, young son, said, "Mom, is there any way that you can help me get rid of my allergies?" It was some conversation like that. Mm-hmm. And she took his hands and said, "I don't know, but I'm going to try." Long story short, within 4 months, he had no allergies. The 2 other kids, the autism child, it's gone. This is over 3.5 years ago. They're all healthy. And what she did will not shock you. I could try to stump the guess, but you guess. She changed their diet.
Yeah.
So they went to, she's all organic. Mm-hmm. And I asked her about that. I said, you know, when I look at the environmental working group, there's okay to buy some things that aren't. She said, not if you're this mom and had those sick kids, I'm not taking any chances. And then she said, non-GMO. Mm-hmm. She is just a non-GMO. So tell us about the delightful thing about the co-op is that it makes looking for those things and those decisions so easy.
Yeah.
It's labeled. So tell us about what someone can find. There's people that listen to the show that haven't even been to Hotel Congress. How can you say you live here and you haven't been to Hotel Congress?
Yeah.
So how could you not have been on Fourth Avenue and gone to the co-op? And I'm not saying that in any mean way, but I mean, look at the line of stores on either side of you, all of those cool places
for
to
sure.
go, and you can find parking. When people say that to me, yes, you can. Maybe it's because I'm from back east.
Yeah, and we're working on that because I think one thing we've identified is that Food Conspiracy is not the most convenient place to come shop. And
it isn't.
I would love to share that more if I have time. But to go back to your question, you know, like what can you find at the Food Conspiracy Co-op? And really the answer is a very thoughtfully procured set of produce and products.
That
truly reflect our deep mission and values-based ideals of food. And, you know, I think if you think of the trajectory from 1971 till today, and sort of transpose that to the larger cooperative industry and natural foods industry at large as well. Like co-ops sort of really, in a lot of ways, started the natural foods industry. And it was sort of through that, going back to sort of the buying club ideals of like, we want to know where our food comes from. That's really like co-ops are a hub for getting closer to your food, having more of a relationship with the folks that sell your food, but also, you know, in terms of health and wellness and how people are experiencing that, like connecting with their food in that way as well, as the story you pointed out earlier. So yeah, it's a very thoughtfully procured space where we want to reflect health and wellness, and we want to reflect ideals and really, you know, having a higher quality of the products we offer. You know, we do a lot of work on that. And then part of that as well is having as many local products as possible. Because, you know, again, it's about that connection and with local products, local produce and other produced products in our locality, you really get that closer connection and
get the nutrition you need. Yeah. There's now all the science about if you're eating food and having bee pollen and honey from where you are, it can protect you against allergies because it's from the soil that you're surrounded with and the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees. So there's a healthy component to that that I don't know if a lot of people realize. Let me ask you this though, and I don't know the answer. Mm-hmm. Is like one of the things that I was going to say is I love that a farmer can come in that just wants to be a little farmer. They grow the best tomatoes in the world. Mm-hmm. They don't want to go to scale. They don't want to get in Costco. They want to be a farmer and make a living, not become the next billionaire. When someone comes in, because I've seen a lot of local farmers showcase there and eggs and all of those things. What type of vetting do they have to go through? Because you do have such superior quality.
Yeah.
What do you have to do then? It makes it harder.
Really, for like local produce, we use a pretty, like a lot more open access certification form called Certified Naturally Grown.
I got
it. And basically,
you know,
we're supporting them pretty heavily this year because honestly, like the USDA organic label and standards are extremely important, but they do stand as kind of a gatekeeper for growing organic produce because it's a huge investment to get that certification and keep the certification.
It costs a lot of money.
So Certified Naturally Grown and other sort of certification programs really create a pathway for small-scale local farmers to have, you know, recognition that they are utilizing organic practices, but not the full sort of huge monetary investment in the USDA organic certification.
I mean, I know exactly what you mean, which isn't necessary either. Yeah.
Well, it's necessary, like, on the larger scale industry.
Yes.
It really is. And it's basically, you know, USDA, the USDA organic label created, in a lot of ways, like similar to co-ops, the natural foods industry.
It set the bar.
A multi-billion dollar industry.
Right, right. And growing.
Yeah. And I mean, it's influenced the course of agribusiness as well, that certification, through the sort of creation of that industry. So, it's extremely important. And when we're talking about how people connect with their food, I think they really connect through certifications, understanding that, hey, I might not be able to go talk to the farmer right now, but I know that through this certification that they're following, you know,
certain protocols.
Protocols and practices, which, you know, facilitates a level of trust. I think that's something I've heard a lot in the co-op world is trust. Like, we want to trust where our food comes from. And when you get into the arena of health and wellness and how people are really, you know, sort of producing that in their daily lives, that element of trust and connecting with your food just plays a big role in people feeling good.
And you don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
That's what I loved when I went there. I didn't have to worry about this body lotion was going to have toxins in it that had carcinogens. You don't have to be as thoughtful when you've done your homework and you're placing your trust in the people that are doing the buying.
Yeah.
That's a huge thing to me. What about, I can tell let's embarrass you on the air, but it won't show up that it's your face is red. You're a deep thinker. And there's no doubt in my mind, you are thoughtful. When you talked about it, I was very enthralled with a cultural anthropological perspective to what you're doing and people's connection with food. You're the new head guy. What kind of things are you thinking about that you want to share? What innovations have you made? What would you like to, that you feel comfortable sharing, not only to keep the vibe, but expand the vibe and help it grow with the greatest foundation that it already has?
Sure. That's such a great question, and thank you for those kind words. It's funny, though. You know, Food Conspiracy doesn't really need major innovation. We do. But honestly, like I've alluded to before,
I would totally agree with you. Like, what's new?
but we're not a convenient place to shop, and to me, it's a no brainer. Like, so for folks in our locality, also folks across the nation. Sorry, it's not super relevant to you, but for people in Tucson, basically, you park in the back. We have parking in the back, and our customers, since 1971, have basically walked up and through the front door. And then obviously we offer services and carry out services and stuff like that. So really my big thing in working with my board of directors and facilitating our vision and goal is to create an access project, basically, where we increase our parking and create a back entrance into our store.
Wow.
So really, I mean,
wow. Yeah.
It's not. Like, to me, that's kind of where it starts. There are some sort of nuanced ideas that are super relevant to co-op's position in the natural foods game right now. And really, like, we're focusing on our customer experience. So we've identified that we have a space that is unique and different. And really what we want to do from there in identifying what that difference is just facilitate a positive experience in our store, a welcoming experience in our store where really, you know, we want to welcome all of the folks in Tucson and on Fourth Avenue into our store. So working on that customer experience for me, you know, we have to be convenient because we're not going to be able to be available to a broader array of people here until we're convenient. So I'm identifying that, but I mean, aside from structure, like
that's huge. Yeah, let's press pause on that for a minute because typical shopper, I want to get it done and I'll buy two of this and three of that and four of this and five of that. If I'm just a casual shopper and it's a convenience, I'll just buy a couple of things and maybe I'll eat them or it's just things I want to, you know, pick up and get home. I really didn't ever think of that because I haven't shopped there as a shopper other than to, you know, grab a bite or get a healthy snack or stop in. So that is brilliant. And for people that do listen from around the country that are interested and then come to Tucson and tell me because they heard it on Mrs. Green's World or Down to Earth, it's interesting. When you talk about the vibe, we have a new streetcar, so there's lots more traffic. Mm-hmm. We have a downtown that's going crazy.
Yeah.
But what we also have are lots of people starting to migrate down there. I have friends, many, that had lots of acres on the east side,
yeah,
and they don't want it anymore. And they're moving downtown, mm-hmm, and which is driving the prices up, thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah.
But they want to walk, and they want to take their bike or take the streetcar, but when they want groceries, they want to take their car because they want to have one shop. So you have a bigger pool that's going to be looking for their needs to be met. So that's really, to me, really visionary. And I think that'll help.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a lot of history at Food Conspiracy and a lot of great leaders that have propelled that co-op and to the point it's at today, the great point we're at today. But, you know, I just think it's just how we're evolving as cooperators to focus more on the experience of our shoppers as sort of the fundamental premise of why we exist, you know. I think when we're covering that well, it enables us to do the more, you know, mission-driven work in larger policy or issues in our locality. That, you know, they're connected, but we want to be a great, you know, a great store to shop in. And that's the number one goal right now for us.
So let me ask you this. This is the macro question. So in a lot of the people I interview, the research I do, the reading about all of the impacts of climate change, climate adaptation, climate mitigation, I said this earlier in the show, it's a lot about community. Mm-hmm. So like Gary Nabhan has sat in that chair, whose food, there's a question about food insecurity. Mm-hmm. The New York Times calls Gary Nabhan.
Yeah.
There's food insecurity, food deserts, food security. Why do you think, or do you think is a better question, not a leading question, mm-hmm. do you think that a healthy, robust food co-op like we have will help when or if, you know, the highway melts, let's be extreme, and trucks mm-hmm. can't get here for 4 days. Doesn't it make, and I am leading the question now because I know what I know what I think the answer is, but at least I'm transparent about it, that the more we can develop local sourcing, the closer to our food supply, the less vulnerable we will be. Is that something that you agree with?
Yeah, absolutely. And really it's, you know, I always sort of use the concept of capacity building, which has a really technical sort of meaning in community-driven work. But really, and just in its sort of basic form, like we want to build the capacity of our local food economy.
That's it. And that's it. Nailed.
Yeah.
Bam.
Yeah.
Build the capacity of our local food economy.
And, you know, I think there's a socioeconomic connection to that capacity that is extremely important. But really, you know, aside from that, it's just sort of like it makes the system a little bit more clear. Like you're not as disconnected from it when you really delve into, you know, who your local producer is and where their farm is, and like that sort of engagement, I think, sort of demystifies food in a lot of ways that's really meaningful for people. Whereas you go to Walmart and you might find a really nice whatever you're looking for at a very great price, but, you know, you don't know where it came from necessarily, and you don't know who was exploited getting it.
And you don't know if it made your child, if it's making your child sick.
Absolutely.
Those are such, that's a social justice piece.
Yeah.
I just wrote a piece on, you know, there's know your farmer. There's also know who made your clothes in the fashion industry. That's a whole other thing where there's an incredible slave industry, which we don't even think about. I was that person that bought $5 t-shirts at Target. Oh, look, 4th of July t-shirts. Oh, look. And then I found out at what cost I can get a shirt for $5. It's like, so never again.
Yeah.
I won't even buy them used because I know what happened to make those cost $5. Organic cotton? I don't think so.
Yeah.
So we started with a story.
Uh-huh.
I think we covered in my intro, like I said, I do word sort. So you care about our health. You help educate just by your labeling system. It's an education, mm-hmm. if you ask me. There's the whole social component that's down there and the vibe and making sure that you're supporting capacity in our community. What's the thing that you love the most? I'd like to end with a story that you love the most about your job or about the excitement of the experience, or what do you want to share as we come to a rapid close?
Yeah. Well, I'd say for me, I think one sort of overarching thing or aspect of my job that I love the most is that, you know, like I was alluding to a lot with connectedness, like I feel very connected to my work, to what I do and the people I share my work with and my staff and my board and owners and customers. So that more direct connection is really important to me. But at Food Conspiracy in particular, there's really something happening right now. And it's really interesting to sort of trace as I've been, you know, in this leadership role. But there's so much potential at Food Conspiracy right now, potential to truly sort of realize realize some very powerful, impactful, and in, you know, hopefully in some ways radical changes that we can make. But again, with that potential and sort of the structure of food conspiracy and co-ops in general, I think you there are interesting approaches that you can have in your work and where what programs you develop and what strategies you employ to really achieve goals. But I think for me, in my background, I think that's sort of basically what I'm doing right now is very applied work and still engaging in a lot of theory and my academic past and present in a lot of ways. But I just think there's an interesting potential and real sort of path forward for me to just in different ways sort of kind of move this organization with the help of everyone involved into a more positive sort of, you know, trajectory, if you will. But and then, you know, with that also realizing that we're kind of creating and are a part of more of a closed loop in terms of resources than you would get in a different structure. And that's really important as well.
And trust, the word just keeps coming, trust. Yeah. It matters to me more than it has ever have because of what's going on in our world and the lack of it. And it was funny, I love asking people to start with a story because most people, like you, you nailed your story and it gave me all these little diamonds that I could pick and follow through mm-hmm. as threads, because for you, it is clearly a connection with food in a very different way and then how that interrelates to the community. So I thought it was delightful. And then you carried that thread throughout. So it's enjoyable for me to sit here and listen to people's stories and then see how that thread, which yours did, it's woven throughout the rest of the our conversation. So it was delightful.
Thanks for that.
Is there anything else before I bring us to a wonderful, powerful close?
There's a lot for sure. And I think that really one takeaway I would hope for the audience is that there's a real potential for engagement at Food Conspiracy Co-op and your co-ops across the country. To have a say in sort of where your food comes from and all of that, but also to be a part of organizations that have potential in addressing larger societal issues like climate change and like racial inequality and pervasive issues throughout our nation that are very pressing and need sort of grassroots work done. So I think that's just really the potential of co-ops and that there is a lot more, even at Food Conspiracy, that's going on. So I would just want to ask folks to get involved.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, no, and people that are listening, you don't have to shop there all the time to be a member.
Yeah.
If you're downtown or if it's one of the things that you feel as though it's of value to you, it's not like it's $400 to become a member. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's really, and then you get a discount on your food.
Yeah.
So all of that is available on your website. And for anybody listening, all of the things that you referenced, we put all the links to anything we talk about on our page, our show page, when we take the show out. So,
and I would be remiss to not mention that we are open to everyone. You do not have to be an owner to shop there.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right. I shop
there. So we are open to everyone and the majority of food co-ops across the nation are open to everyone.
Right. So if you're in other places, seek them out.
Yep.
And you won't be sorry. You know that you don't have to worry that the food you're eating is safe. That's how I feel.
Absolutely. And if you don't like something at your local food co-op, ask to talk to the staff. Ask to talk to the general manager. And, you know, we're the ones that can make those decisions and change. And
you
won't get that at any
just let
any
your voice be heard. Boy, I am that person, I can tell you. So I want to tell you all that our next Mrs. Green's World show on May 14th is Bob Langert. And I did an eye roll when my show producer said, guess who you're going to be interviewing? And boy, was I glad. He's a Green Biz editor at large, former chief sustainability officer for McDonald's, and author of the book McDonald's Battle to Do Good, the Inside Edition. And it was a great interview. And no more eye rolling for me at McDonald's, because they have done a lot to improve many, many things in the fast food industry, and I stand by that. Okay, and the next Down to Earth shows for the next few weeks are Greatest Hit series, spotlighting a number of dynamite past shows over the years so some of us can get a little bit of summer in. And here's my last words, which you all know I love having the last words. In our world, our team cares quite a bit about things like buying local, eating healthy, reducing our carbon footprint, supporting organizations and companies that are aligned with our mission to work towards a sustainable and socially just planet. We want to be a part of creating a world that works for everyone. We vote with our money, and we vote with raising our voices any chance we can. We are 201 Disruptors for Good. The Food Conspiracy Co-op is a bright and shining example of what is right about an organization, and they have been walking the good walk since I moved here more than 35 years ago. Do I dare mention that right now? They provide employment, they create community, they support our local economy. They are committed to feeding us with food that is healthy, ethically sourced, and not laden with harmful chemicals that pollute our bodies, our air, our waterways, our communities. If you live in Tucson, I encourage you to make it a point to stop in, check the Food Conspiracy out, and consider joining and spend more time on historic 4th Avenue. If you plan to visit Tucson, definitely make it a point to drop in for a healthy snack, a delicious lunch, or simply have some fun hanging out with the locals. Thank you all for being a part of my world. And John, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
It was fun. Thanks, everybody.